Jesus' blood. Grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter blind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Here's my heart, oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. Master, Redeemer, Savior of the world, wonderful Counselor, morning star, lily of my valley, provider and friend. He was yesterday, he'll be tomorrow, the beginning, ending. But the angels called him Jesus, born of a virgin, and Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord. Jehovah Messiah, mighty God is he, bread of life, the lasting words of love that I need. Light in darkness or to heaven, my home in the sky, fountain of living water that never shall run dry. But the angels call him Jesus, born of a virgin, and Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord. And Mary called him Jesus, but I call him Lord.
My mind, I'm hoping it'll be a short stay in Las Vegas, to be honest with you. But you never know. I told her if God is in it, you know, if you've ever, who's been to Vegas here? Been to Vegas before? Who's lost money in Vegas? Right? That's what I thought. That's what I thought, Brother Carl. I could tell you that was in you, buddy. It's an interesting place. And there are some good churches out there. I know Liberty Baptist is out there. I'm familiar with them. And I think Brother Tice is there. I think that's out there. I don't know if that's Liberty or not. I can't remember. I don't remember off the top of my head, but a couple of churches out there. I have a good friend named George Noriega, which y'all know the Noriegas. You don't know them, though, do you? That's Panama. But we get them mixed up. He's out there. I think a Spanish church, though. He's Cuban, and he couldn't get into Cuba, and he ended up in Las Vegas. He come through here years ago. But anyway, Kiana, we'll be telling her goodbye tonight. So be back tonight. I know we'll have a little bit of something to eat there, and just a good time to tell her there. And pray for her. Amen. Pray for her and lift her up in prayer. We got Junior Church this morning. Who's got Junior Church? Make sure we got Junior Church going on. All righty. We got little ones, no big ones? We got big ones too. Amen. They got them both. Everybody else, turn to Joshua. Joshua, come out the side door over there. I got to be careful. Amen. All righty. Yes, turn to Joshua if you would. Very familiar verse. Well, that took out that whole row over there, amen. That eliminated that whole row. All righty. Hey, Brantley. Bye. Being no mind. Like his daddy. Running wide open this morning. He wanted to make sure that they got him. Amen. Good. 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 All righty. Joshua chapter 24. This morning will be a different message. And I'll tell you, go ahead and give you a heads up now. There will be some CDs made. We got a lot of folks missing this morning. And I want every church member to get a copy of today's message. I want every person here that's a member of this church or comes to this church, I want you, if you're here this morning, you're good to go. But if you're not, and them folks are not here, they need a copy of the message. And you'll understand why in just a few minutes. But if you found your place in Joshua chapter 24, let's all stand. We're going to come down to two verses, and we'll look at several more in just a few minutes. But in Joshua 24, probably right there was John 3:16, this verse here. I find it in more homes in any place I've ever been. You'll find verse 15 there, especially there. That verse 15, you'll see that in people's homes, and it is a tremendous verse. But I believe most of the time, the people that have that in their home do not realize the context of the verse and what it's about. So I'm going to preach on that this morning. But let's read these verses, just two verses, and then we'll look at some more in Joshua. But the Word of God says in verse 14, "Now therefore, do what? Fear the Lord. Have a reverence for Him. And serve Him." Notice that one. "In sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood. And in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord." Now verse 15. "And if it seem evil, church, unto you to serve the Lord, do what? Choose. Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served, that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." But here's the verse. "But as for me and my house," let's read this together, "we will serve the Lord." Tremendous verses. Tremendous, tremendous verses. Let's pray. Father, God, help this morning, Lord. I've been troubled today, Lord, on this message for several days. And Lord, the devil has definitely battled this church the last several days. Through Christmas time, Lord, it seemed like attacking, no doubt, the birth of Christ. And now a brand new year, folks trying to turn, Lord, make resolutions and reservations, I should say, and trying to do things, Lord. The devil is going to attack anyone who's willing to repent. He's going to attack anyone who's willing to turn from. He's going to attack anyone who's willing to serve. And I know there's folks that are not in church this morning simply because the devil's told them to stay at home. And they've listened. They've obeyed Satan. And what will kill a church is a church congregation that's unfaithful. And Joshua is dealing with this in chapter 24 this morning. And God, I recognize that today, Lord, that everything wasn't gravy in the day. Even though they were in the promised land, they had not done everything, Lord, that they were supposed to do. And there were people there that I'm sure were causing problems. He wouldn't have said what he was saying there if he hadn't had, Lord, some issues going on. And this morning, I pray, God, that you will speak to our hearts as a church. Lord, I know, Lord, that building over there and that cow pasture is not just going to happen. It's going to take faithful servants. It's going to take people that are sold out, Lord. And if we don't have them, then we'll never do what you have us to do. And we'll walk in a wilderness down here in this world, and we'll never, ever be what you'd have us to be. Now, God, guide and direct and lead us. And, Lord, we love you this morning, and we praise you this morning because, Lord, we're already at every knee. We're going to bow down before you today. And, God, we call you King and Lord and Savior. And we praise you because of all that you've done. Now, in Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You know, you're looking in Joshua, and I love Joshua. I love the story of Joshua, and you know, I think most people in here do. But there are some 10 to 20 years they've already done had what we know as the conquest done, and at this point in time, Joshua is down at the place where he's about ready to die. He's 100 and some years old. We'll find that in chapter 24 towards the end. And he's trying to remind them some things about how that God, by the way, chapter 24 and 23 both, is about God being faithful to them, and that he's faithful. And we have a responsibility to God's faithfulness to us. We forget that we have a responsibility. Now, Joshua is concerned about two things here. They become complacent. It's easy, amen, to get complacent, amen. It's easy to get complacent. And I'll tell you something else. It's easy to compromise. It's very easy today just to give in that. And by the way, they were supposed to drive the Canaanites out of the land. And if you read, you'll find out they started mingling with them. They started becoming like them. They started looking like them. They started smelling like them. They started acting like them. And here, they've got the neat thing in Joshua, they've got a new start. They got a new day. They got a new era. They got a new way. And everything is looking good. And guess what? This is 2000 and guess what we got? We got a new day. We got a new year. Everything else is water under the bridge. You can't go back and lead anyone to Christ from last year. That's done. You can't change what you did last year, but you can change direction this year. Amen? You can. The old saying is you can turn the cat around. Amen? You rub a cat one way, his hair stands up. You flip him around the other way, it'll all lay down. Amen? And listen, we need to get a church that's willing to understand today, as Joshua was trying to tell here, about the people. Now, there's interesting to me, in his day here, there's three kinds of people that Joshua is primarily speaking to. He's talking to people that are sold out. He had folks that were faithful. They were faithful in everything that they did. They were making a difference. They were serving the Lord. They were doing the work that he had for them to do, and they were there. But there's also a crowd there that had sold out, but unfortunately, they sold out to the day that they were living in and the morals and the practices of that day. They were messing around with idols. They were fooling around with things they shouldn't have been. And you know, you got the folks that's serving the Lord, then you got folks out there pretty much that's serving sin. And by the way, that's the church of today. But then there was a final group, and this is my final one here that I think that Joshua was truly preaching here on. He was speaking to a large group that had made absolutely no decision either way. They become complacent. They become a compromise. They're just sitting out there. They're just floating along with nothing in their speed, no wind in them, doing absolutely nothing. And by the way, they had made no decision to do anything. Do you realize that we got the same three groups today? Who are they, preacher? Well, first of all, we got folks in this church that are sold out. We got folks in this church that serve the Lord. You know, this morning y'all opened a bulletin up, and a little lady in this church, I'm going to tell you how old she is, but 70-some years old, and she gets and does that bulletin. She keeps she takes care of everything inside that bulletin that dear lady does. She does it every Sunday. She drives 35 miles to this church to come down here on Sunday mornings and Wednesday nights. And listen to me. She does it faithfully. Now, miss, I'm not trying to lift her up to you. There's others here. I'm just picking on her for just a few minutes today. But there are faithful people in our church. And by the way, but we also got a crowd out there that's serving sin today at Fanning Road Baptist Church. Something in your life. Hey, I'm not going to name sin today just simply because you know which one is sitting on your head today. Amen. You know which one has got control of your life today. And by the way, that group is not sold out. They're sold out to whatever is controlling their lives, whether it be alcohol, drugs, whatever it happens to be. I won't get on that today, but listen, they're in our church. And finally, folks, listen, there's another group there. This group is probably the largest group in our church also. You know where they're at? Let me demonstrate. Good morning, Brother Lester. Good to see you this morning. How are you doing? I'm really glad to be in church this morning at 11 o'clock. Please make sure we're out of here by 12. Okay, thank you very much, Pastor. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. What time is it? This old boy's over today. What's wrong with that man? Can't get done at 12 o'clock. Did anybody teach him anything in cemetery? Did anybody teach him anything? He don't know nothing. Well, I'm hungry too. Anybody else hungry? You should have got Miss Margaret fixed pancakes and sausage this morning. Amen. Hallelujah. I got two of them. Praise the Lord. I'm not hungry. I'm good to go for an hour. My point is this. We got folks sitting on the pews. Got the same crowd. They're making no decision to, oh, how I love Jesus, but we'll sing this one. I want to serve him. Amen. And the group ain't here. We're just dealing with the time right now. Listen, we've got to get to a place where we become restless, indecision, and they've made absolutely nothing to do with serving the Lord. We got folks in church that even never have decided to even join our church yet. They come, but they just don't, well, I don't know about joining that church. That preacher down there preaches too hard on different things, and that way I can. You know what? I'd be like me trying to marry my wife and say, listen, honey, we ain't got to get married. We just live together. Yes, amen. That'll go real good, amen. That'll go real good. No ring, buddy. No. Get married first, amen. But you know what? Listen, that's what folks want. I don't have to commit to anything. I can stay outside. I don't have to come to church because I have no responsibility at all. I don't have to teach Sunday school. I can just sit there on the church and take it in and walk out the door. No buses will be run. No children will come to church. Nobody will be taught anything, and I don't have to do anything. That is the crowd, by the way, that Joshua is speaking to today. Now go back and read that verse now. You'll get a little context in it. He's talking to him now. He says, if it seem evil to you in verse 15 to serve the Lord, hey, you bunch of bozos, church, choose this day. Choose who you're going to serve. Whether you're going to serve the gods of your fathers that served where they're on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, Joshua lays it out. I'm going to serve the Lord. That's what Joshua said. I wish they had a whole church full of folks that would say, listen, it doesn't matter what the world's doing. I'm going to be different. We need a church full of folks today that's willing to say, I'm sold out. But you know what? The proof is in the moon pie, not the pudding. You know, a moon pie's got two slabs of graham crackers. Now, moon pies are made in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The real moon pie is a double decker. That's the real moon pie. And in there, buddy, there's graham cracker-like stuff here, graham cracker stuff right here, and then in the middle there's graham cracker, but on both sides there's marshmallows. You put that boy in a microwave for about 4 seconds. Who likes them? Who likes them? Oh, I love them, double deckers. But you know what? The proof comes in, you know, when folks come to church. I got to be careful because I say, preacher's preaching on me this morning. No. If a shoe fits you, put it on. Amen. If the sock smells like you, it's probably yours. Period. This morning I want to preach a message, and I'm going to give it to you very, very clearly, directly, and easy. We will do nothing here outside of folks here that are serving and willing to serve. Every church in America right now as a whole are battling this. You know they can draw huge crowds in churches today, but it's hard. You know, the scary thing, it's hard to find somebody out telling someone about the Lord. You know, we can get down here in our church houses and we can jump. We can have a band in here, buddy. We can be going down. We can be jumping and going and hallelujah and all, and the world outside dies and goes to hell. Because, see, the problem of this is coming to church and having a party is an easy thing. We're going to have a party tonight for Keon. I mean, not so much a party, but a going away, and we'll do that. You know, people come to that because they'll get a piece of cake or ice cream or something like that. But you know what? The real work is the serving of the Lord. Amen. And that's what this is all about. Now, I want to give you this morning just to water, hopefully. But I'm going to say to you before I get done with this, I'm going to ask this morning, and I'm going to give this CD out to every single person that's in this church, to ask you to make a commitment today. And listen, if you don't do it, that's your business. But if you are real and you're sincere and you mean it, my dear friends, you better make a commitment today and you better carry through with it. Because there's a whole lot more at stake in just your little life and my little life. God put us here. He resurrected this church. But the devil is doing everything in the world he can to destroy it today. And that's across America. But number one, let's look at a couple of verses here. And of course, the very first one there, and the verse two verses there, we find in verses 14 and 15, we choose whom we are going to serve. If you read verses 14 and 15, you count them for me. I think I'm right on this. I believe there are 7 times in those two verses that you find the word S-E-R-V-E. What does that spell? Serve. I think Joshua was real clear on what he was talking about. There are seven times in those two verses that he uses the word serve. And by the way, in verse 14, he's pretty clear. He's not because he's just got through telling them how good the Lord has been. Amen? How good God has been till he gets down to verse number 14. And then he says, now, therefore, fear the Lord and do what? Serve him in sincerity and in truth. And then he tells them to put away all those gods that you're serving, and do something different is what he's trying to get to. It reminds me, hold your place there and flip over to 1 Kings. I love the story there of 1 Kings. Elijah's on Mount Carmel. Remember this story in 1 Kings chapter 18? And I'll just read one verse. But I think it comes right down to what Joshua was saying. Comes right down to chapter number 18 and verse number 21. If you look at this verse, another famous verse, by the way. This is 1 Kings 18:21. And Elijah came unto all the people. How many did he come to? And said, how long halt? That's the word for being crippled. How long are you dragging your legs? How long are you limping along? Ye between two opinions. If the Lord be God, do what? Follow him. If Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Amen. Sounds like the church of today, just to be honest with you. If God is who he says he is, church, we need to get on fire for him and serve him. If he's not, then go ahead and go on out there to your football games, and go on out there to your deer hunting, and go on out there to your parties, and live like you want to, and quit trying to play church. We're playing church today, and we're playing it at the deficit of people dying and going to hell. Now listen, Joshua was trying to rationalize with them. Why is that, Pastor? Well, understand something. He reads there in verse 15, he talks about some gods. But back up, first of all, he says to them, hey, listen, God is who he is. But look in chapter 24, verse 1 and 2. Notice Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and called for the elders of Israel and for their heads and for their judges and for their officers, and they presented themselves before God. Now notice verse 2. And Joshua said unto all the people, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham, and the fathers of Nahor, and they served who? Other gods. See, what he's saying here in the end of chapter 24 is they were. He said, you can go back and you can serve those gods the same. If that's what you want to do, go back and serve them. They're the ones that your father served on the other side of the flood. If you want to go back to those ways, do it. Now look in verse number 4 and verse number 7. And I gave unto you Isaac, Jacob, and Esau. And I gave unto Esau Mount Seir to possess it. But Jacob and his children went down into where? Went down into Egypt. I sent Moses also and Aaron, and I plagued Egypt according to that which I did among them. And afterwards, he says, I brought them out, and I brought your fathers out of Egypt, and you came into the sea, and the Egyptians pursued after your fathers with chariots and horsemen into the Red Sea. And when they cried unto the Lord, he put darkness between you and the Egyptians and brought the sea upon them and covered them. And your eyes have seen what I've done in Egypt, and you dwelt in the wilderness a long season. You know what Joshua was saying right here? You want to go back and serve the gods there that were down in Egypt? Then go back and serve the gods that are down in Egypt. You can go all the way back on the other side of the flood if you want. You can go back and live that way, or you can do this. And then he gets into verse number 8. Now he's down to where they're at now. And I brought you unto the land of the Amorites, which dwelt on the other side of Jordan, and they fought with you. And I gave them into your hand that you might possess their land, and I destroyed from before you. Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, rose and warred against Israel and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you, so I delivered you out of his hand. And you went over Jordan and came unto Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you, the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Dustmites. And the Hittites and the Gishurites and the Hivites, and you got to be in FBI to know that, and the Jebusites, and I delivered them unto your hand. And he goes on, I sent the hornets and all. You know what he's saying in that verse there? He said, hey, you want to go serve the gods of these people right here? Go for it. Did you catch that? He said, go for it. You want to do that? Do it. But then he says, but it's for me and my house. We're going to do what? See, he was at a place where he said, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of this play stuff. He was at a place where he said, you want to do it? Then go do it. Go for it. You know, that's been my problem as your pastor. I have drug along with folks who want to play church. I mean, I could give you a list of folks that shows up for church just whenever they get ready to. This ain't the best message in the world. We got guests here. But listen, we got folks that just want to play around with God. They have no intents or purposes ever to serve the Lord. They'll die, and most of them, I'm afraid, are going to go and split hell wide open because they don't even know who he is. And I'm going to tell you something. What will break my heart more than anything else to be walking the streets of gold. Now listen, God intended to save this entire world. And I'm a believer that I believe he intended for every person in this world to go to heaven. Can you imagine, I'm walking down the street there, my mansion's over here, Brother Lucas over here, Brother Wade, and I look up there and I see a big old house, mansion, big sign out there. I say, hey, where's so-and-so? Well, the house was built, but he didn't make it. You know, can you imagine if there was a multi-million dollar mansion somewhere with a mailbox with your name on it, and you don't get there? Can you imagine? Yeah, I mean, it's got everything that money can buy. By the way, it's got everything God can make, and money can't buy it, amen? It's got everything in the world, and guess what? There'll be people that die who sit in church pews like this one, and they'll die and go to hell. Right. That amazes me. I don't know how. It will break my heart as your pastor, but I know that there will be people that are playing church in this church. I know that. Joshua says, hey, you serve the real God. You ain't got to fool with this other bunch. You know, there's a place over in Romans. Hold your place and flip to Romans chapter 12. Our pastor down in Panama was a man named Al Sly. This was Brother Sly's favorite verse. You know how I know that? Because that man preached on this almost every Sunday, I think. And in Romans chapter 12. Most of you know these verses, but just bear with me. Romans 12 verses 1 and 2. Notice these verses. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, there we are, by the mercies of God, that you do what? Present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice. Not like the Muslims who have to die. We can live for Jesus today, amen? Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. My dear friends, listen to me. That there is the same verses that the Lord is speaking to you and I in Romans. And yet, what are we going to do with it is the question. That's a pattern in the New Testament that's found in the Old Testament. Now, I believe there's four ingredients. I don't know. I think I got these from Adrian Rogers, I believe. I won't hold that to him. But he gave four true decisions. And this is my prime message today. True decisions about what you're going to do. Joshua's asked them to make a decision. Choose. I'm going to ask you today. I'm going to be even harder than that. If you don't want to do it, then go on up the road there to a church that's going to do nothing for the Lord, because you will stumble somebody who will say, well, you know, yeah, I can't believe it. You know, I love Facebook. Facebook, you get on Facebook, you can put anything you want to on there, and you can discourage as many people as you possibly can. If you ain't got something good to say, I don't remember who said it, but he said there's four true decisions for God. Number one, listen, if we're going to make a difference in this town, and I really and truly believe we can. I'm going to rabbit here for a second. I got a friend of mine that will be with us. We got a new website coming up, and I'm going to tell you now that he's working on it. Right now it's not where it should be, but it's going to be, and we got two of our men going to take that website over, and I got a friend of mine I've met named Steve Kilpatrick. He came in on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Wednesday night, and he'll be taking it. He's with an organization that starts churches now. He just got through. He just resigned this morning from Gospel Light Baptist Church in Helena there. 13 years ago, he started knocking on doors. Today, they got a brand new building, a Christian school. And by the way, it can still be done. We could have a building sitting over there right now with 500 youngins in it from over in West Montgomery going to a Christian school where they hear the Word of God, and we can make a difference in Montgomery, or we can sit down here and just play twiddly thumbs. I can't do it. I don't have enough years left, and I don't want to do it. You say, man, I come to the wrong service. It's all right. You'll be okay. Hang in there like a hair in a biscuit. You'll be okay. We got to do this. We got to quit straddling the fence. Amen. The word choose doesn't give you a choice. Well, it really does. It gives you a choice. You can say no. Amen? You can say no, I'm not going to do it. I ain't coming to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Then don't come. I ain't going soul winning. Then don't go. Mm-hmm. Stay over there where you're at. I ain't coming back to this church, preacher. Then do as you please. Yep.
You have the right. God gives us free will to do as we please.
Amen.
I'm not going to change my message just to fit your haircut. Amen? Just because you don't like it. I'm not going to change it. If you're looking for somebody to peddle you around and massage you, it makes you feel happy. It's called tickling of the ears. I can't do that.
Number one, I'm afraid a lot of preachers today are fearful of their jobs. Well, see, I got news for you. You didn't hire me. And the one that did owns it all. So I'm not worried about that. I'm not going to tickle you. Used to be a drink called Tickle Your Innards. Who knows what it is? Mountain Dew. That's the old expression. You had to take it off because the innards is guts. Amen. It'll tickle your innards. Amen. And listen, that's what people want today. They want Mr. Feelgood. You can pick him up in Houston, Texas anytime you want to. And most of you know who I'm talking about. But we got to quit straddling the fence. You know what a straddler does? Here's where they're supposed to be with the Lord. Straddler tries to do this. How far away can I get? I got bad hips. I may have to take me out of here. But when I was growing up, we used to have tobacco barns. You remember this. And the tobacco, you had to put tobacco up in barns. And you had to get on them tear poles, they called them. And you had to stand up there, and somebody hand them sticks of tobacco up. You know, you want to make sure your feet were planted where they're supposed to be. But you know what folks today they want to do? I want to see how far it is. I want to straddle the fence with church today. I don't want to be part of any place where I got to do anything. They don't want to give up that little bit of sin that they got in their life. Man, look, preacher, I love my Budweiser, amen. I love my little bit of dope, amen. I love my running around with my wife, amen. And I just can't give any of that stuff up. Joshua didn't care. Joshua challenged them to make a decision. That's what you want? Have it your way. At Burger King, it's not. Some people say this, though. They'll say, well, I want to do it, preacher, but not, right now it's just not the good time. Well, you know, preacher, we're doing pretty good right now. I just got a brand new job. I got a brand new car. I just really don't need anything right now, so God, I'll just leave that one off. Or they'll say, things is going downhill fast. And instead of looking up to the one who can help them, they look down at the one that can't help them. And by the way, pride will keep you from ever acknowledging that God owns it all anyway. He owns it all anyway. Even the air that we breathe. Well, I'll tell you one more. You know, we just want to do this one. This is the crowd in most churches today. I'll just float along. You know, I like to do the easy. What's that thing at that place we go in the summer with the kids? Easy River. What's it called? Lazy River. Hey, I like that thing. Get on a big old fat tub. Inner tube, man, you put your rear right in the middle of it and throw them feet up there, buddy, and you just float. Man, you just float. That would feel good today, right? Amen? It would feel good today. My point is this. That ain't where God has for you to be. And number one out of this point here is you got to be willing to quit straddling the fence. Amen? Straddle the fence. Just play church all you want to. Now, listen, a decision. Listen, I'm going to ask you to make a decision this morning. I'm going to ask every single person in the church to make a decision today. And if you're not serious about it, then don't worry about it. But you better worry about it because you ought to be serious enough to tell God that I want to serve you. Now listen, the second thing is this. A decision must not be taken lightly. I made a decision back in 1977 to marry my wife. I loved her for a few years there. She broke up with me and broke my heart, sent me into a spiral to the Air Force and on down the road. Just about kill me. But I made a decision. I really and truly took it lightly. I didn't realize what marriage was about. I didn't have a clue, to be honest with you. I needed counseling. Somebody should have sat me down and explained this stuff to me. It would have took me a little bit longer to have gotten married because I would have thought about it a little bit more. But it was all about the L word, lust. That's all it was. I'm just being honest. That's all it was. I didn't know anything else. I didn't know what love was. I knew what lust was. But I really loved her, but the two had them mixed up. I was confused in that. Joshua, look in verse 19. Let me show you verse 19. Joshua is 110 years old, by the way. You can find that at the end of chapter 24. He was a soldier. He was a hardened battle soldier. He had scars of long-term commitment and long-term fighting. But look in verse 19. He says, you know, taking something lightly, you better listen to what he says. Look in verse 19. Joshua said to the people, you cannot serve the Lord For notice this, for he is what? He's a holy God. He's a jealous God, and he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Ooh, that'll stop me from thinking about it. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you, and after that he hath done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, nay, but we will serve the Lord. You know what he's saying here? He says, what you're going to do, you better do it. You better not play around with it. Can I tell you something? In a few minutes, I'm going to ask you to come to an old-fashioned altar this morning. And if you're not serious about it, then stay in your seat. Because, see, God's going to know your heart. God's going to know whether you're serious or not. And by the way, as your pastor, I'm going to know. Because, listen, if you're serious, buddy, you're going to do something about it. You see, Joshua says, you don't play around with this. Secondly, if you're going to do this, you don't play around. You better be willing to make it public. Look in verse 19. Joshua said unto the people, notice this. You cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. And he will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. You know something? I think we forget. Hold your place and flip back to Matthew with me. Flip back to Matthew. People today want to be silent Christians. You ever run into that crowd? They want to live like they want to. You know, they want to hang around down at the racetrack, drink beer on Saturday night. They want to hang around downtown at the big thing this week at the Budweiser truck where the band is at. And then on Sunday morning, they want to walk into church and say, oh, how I love Jesus. When the ungodly crowd is down there getting drunk and partying and doing all the things. When the big moon pie dropped in Mobile, there was a lot of drunks in Mobile. Ain't no doubt in my mind. But in Matthew chapter number 10, look what the Lord said here. I think we forget these verses, and I'm getting there myself. I didn't write them down, but I know them. In chapter number 10, look in verse 32. Whosoever therefore, notice this, please listen to this, whosoever therefore shall confess me before who? Men. Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Now look in verse 33. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Can I tell you something? There is no silent Christians that are walking with the Lord. You can't do it. You can't do it, but I tell you what you can do. You can sure mess your life up so much that people don't even know you belong to him. And there's a big issue today in the world that we live. The church and the world look so much alike, you can't tell them apart. I heard an old preacher say, the church looks so worldly and the world looks so churchy, you can't tell them apart. Everybody today, man, they just love Jesus, amen. Just love him, but they want to live like they want to. I got some bad news for you. You've got to live like you are holy, amen. I didn't say you was holy, but there is holiness and God is holy. And we've got to understand that if you believe in Christ, you've got to be willing to identify yourself as a Christian and tell people that you're a Christian and not be ashamed of that. The Muslims are not ashamed of who they believe in. As they blow folks up and holler their junk out there, you know, where's the Christians at today? I know that. Now, I got to get on. Number four, my point number four is this. You got to be willing to go public. Number four, you got to be willing to follow through. Look in verse 20. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, that means alien gods, foreign gods, things that are not godly, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. You know what? God has been too good to me to go back and live like I used to. He's been too good to me not to be faithful to him. He's been too good to me. If I have nothing good with the rest of my life, I've had enough good in what I've been given now to praise him the rest of my life. I mean, if it is everything from now on, by the way, I'm getting older. I recognize that. My hips are bad. My hair is bad. My teeth is bad. My ears is bad. My eyes is bad. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm going to go down this road the direction that I'm supposed to be, and I worry about all this other stuff because God is still God. Amen? And you got to be willing to follow through. You got to be willing to say, if you forsake, if you turn, there's no mixing. That verse there talks about it in verse 20. There's no mixing of allegiance to God and allegiance to the world. I tried to stay off of the football Thursday night. And my team did win. And I know some of you did. Some of you watched it. We had church on Thursday night. We had church at from 8 to 12. We had a good crowd. First crowd was really good. A lot of them had to go home. So our second crowd wasn't quite as big, but we had probably 80, 90 here. Good crowd. If I lived in this area and went to church here, and I sit down and watch the football game versus coming to God's house, then there's a problem. See, don't be a little preacher. You know what? I just told you a minute ago, y'all didn't hire me, so you can fire me. Find you somebody else who will preach it like you want it preached. Enjoy yourself. There's plenty of Joel Osteens out there. There's plenty of them out there. They'll be glad to come down here and take the church and build it to 1,000, maybe 3,000, 4,000. And they'll die and go to hell because they don't know who Christ is. Everybody's not going to heaven. I will say this to you. I'm not picking on football. Deer hunting captivates our minds. Listen, what can I name today? I hear people sometimes, well, preacher, I can't go to church because my family's coming over today. Well, bring your family to God's house. Oh, I can't do that. Preacher, sometimes, and I recognize jobs. I understand that. I understand jobs. You have to work. You have a job. I appreciate that. But sometimes you work a job. The word is importune. That means it's an opportunity for me to make a little more mojo. So I make a little bit extra money. And you do that and you say, well, I'm going to miss church. It's not a big deal. With who? Oh, preacher. Oh, you're getting real hard on me now, preacher. You still getting through the man. I don't know if I like this or not. You know, all of us got, Brother Corey Colbert, he's got these, what's them things called? Virtual reality glasses. Anybody seen them things? Man, them things is neat. I'm going to get me some of them as soon as I get $100. Them things, man, you can put them on, and it takes you out in outer space. I mean, you can see people. I looked over there, there's a dude sitting right beside of me. I mean, a real dude sitting right beside. It's real. I mean, this is stuff. This is neat. I'm going to stay home today from church. Used to be church on Sunday morning. If we have Christmas on like a Saturday night, Christmas, Sunday morning, buddy, the crowd that shows up, the little youngins is nobody. Because they're playing with their what? That includes adults too. Playing with their. Now Corey brought his to church, amen. I'm just going to tell you right now. He brought his to church and played with them at church, amen. And by the way, I don't want you bringing any of them into the service, but my point is this. Joshua led his children there, and by the way, they had gotten involved in worshiping other gods. They'd gotten involved in worshiping everything in the world. He's saying to you, listen, you're going to choose. You're going to choose. Now, my final point is this. We got to realize that we influence people. Look with me in verse 21. Look at these verses. We influence people with the choices that we make. I'm going to stop for a minute. Hold your place in verse 21. We'll read this. I tell you what you do. You try this. You turn loose on the Lord and sell out to Him fully and start serving Him with all your heart. And I guarantee you people will notice there's something different about you. They'll start calling you preacher, holy roller. You're going to just hear it. You know what? Oh, I don't want people calling me that. Man, that's a compliment. You know what the problem of it is? They don't like you because darkness never likes light. Verse 21. Look at this verse. And the people said to Joshua, uh-oh. Nay, that means no, by the way, but we serve the Lord. They're saying, wait a minute, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Now notice, and Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that ye have chosen you, the Lord, to serve Him. And they said, we are witnesses, Joshua. Now therefore we put away, he said, the strange gods which are among you, and incline, by the way, he tells it like it is, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and His voice we will obey. And Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which He spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. And Joshua let the people depart, every man unto his inheritance. You know what they said? Verse 21, they said, no, we're going to serve the Lord. Can I tell you, let me give you a no for this. No, you won't find me there, preacher. I'm not going to be down at that bar, amen. No, I'm not going to be at B&J's with a case of beer under my arms, heading out there with my King James Bible. I tell you what you do. Next time you get ready to get a case of beer, get your King James Bible under this hand and your case of beer under the other one. And go up there. I know them folks down there. And go in there with one in each hand. Case of beer in one hand, King James Bible in the other. You know what they're going to do? They're going to look at you like loco laca besa. In Spanish, that means crazy in the head, right? You're crazy. He said, preacher, I wouldn't do that. When you go into whether it's B&J's, J&B's, R&D's, M&S, whatever, when you walk in there, the Lord is in you, and I don't care who you are, guess what? You're there. People know you go to this little church down here. That's why they don't want to come, because they know that preacher down there is going to preach like it is. Sorry for you. I hate that, but that's just the truth. We say, no, I won't do that. No, I won't miss church. No, I'm a Sunday school teacher. I'm a Pastor Pirate teacher. No, I'm a King's Kids teacher. No, I'm a little bitty teacher, a big teacher. No, I sing specials at that church. I am a Christian. I live for the Lord, and I'm going to be faithful. Ooh. You know something Joshua knew. Joshua knew in verse 22, and this is a verse. Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself, that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. You know why the Jehovah's Witnesses, them folks, who's had them come to your house? Raise your hand. Look at this. Three-fourths of the church. If you live around this church right here, they beat this place half to death. I like Miss Friendly down there. She got a gate. And she got some dogs in there to bite you. If they're Baptists, they won't bite Baptists because I go to all the time. But them Jehovah's Witnesses, they chew on them. But you know the truth? The truth is, you know what? People know who they are. They got them briefcases in one hand. They get out of their car with two or three people at a time. They show up down there. Where in the world is the Baptist that got the truth at? Where are we at? We're sitting at home drinking iced teas and eating those moon pies, enjoying life. Joshua says, listen, you're a witness of who you really are. You're a witness. People, you know what? One of the most interesting things in the world. How much time do I got? I'm almost done. Almost means not done, but almost. I walk up to somebody and they say, hey, were you a pastor? I say, yeah, I'm so-and-so. Oh, yeah. I got a guy that works for me. Now, I do one of two things here. I'll either go, uh-oh. I got a guy that works for me. Yep. Yeah, he does. And I'll say, well, he said, yeah, he's, get ready to say, he's a what? Oh, he's a great guy. Or I'll get this. Does he always do this stuff? He's always telling us about Jesus. He's always wanting to preach to us. He's always wanting to tell us about this. He's always wanting to do this, or she's always wanting to do that. And I had one complaint one day. Somebody in the church was putting tracts over in a place, sticking them in the cartons of beer. Get that one. I love that one, man. And the dude from the place called me up and said, man, he says, I'm a Christian. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Somebody said, I'm a Christian. And he says, I love the Lord. He said, but these folks are complaining because they're getting their Budweiser out and there's a track in there that says, where will you spend eternity, heaven or hell? Amen. And this Budweiser may take you there. Hey, listen. Can I tell you something? Hey, guess what? Praise the Lord. I told the man, I said, listen, no problem. We'll take care of it. I didn't do anything. He knows. I said, hey, go on, press on. But you know what? Joshua was wanting to challenge him. And my message is not to do this. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to make a commitment. It gets better because, listen, Joshua, they respond. Look in verse number 24. After all this is said and done, Joshua tells them to leave those strange gods in 23 and incline your ear unto the Lord. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God, we serve, and his voice we will do what? Obey. Now, if you read the rest of verse 25 through 29, and I've got to close with this, you'll notice a couple things happens. In verse number 25, Joshua made a what? That is a mutual agreement between Joshua and the children of Israel, with God overseeing it all. They made a covenant saying, we're going to do this, Joshua. And Joshua says, I'm going to hold you to it, but a higher power is going to hold it. You're making a covenant with God. Listen, he says there's a word statue. The word statue means commandment. This is going to be something I'm going to hold. You know what? I'll tell you something. Hunter Loop Road, there's a commandment out there. That's called 45. Anybody got that? Miss Judy knows what it is. It's 45. 55, you break the commandment. 45, you're okay. 55 will get you a ticket. And Joshua says, I got a commandment here. I'm going to make it a commandment. By the way, he don't stop there. He uses a word. The word is ordinance. Now, that's a little different than what you're thinking of. My counselor here may can help me. That is a verdict. That's a pronounced judicial, a sentence, a formal decree. It's an act. It's a place. It's a suit. It's a crime. It's a penalty. You know what he's saying? That ordinance in there says, this is what we're going to do, and it has problems when you don't do it. You better stay with it. And he goes on, and I got to close. He writes those words. If you look in the verses there, look in verse 26. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And I like this next part. And he took a great stone and he set it up there under an oak that was by the, notice where it's at, by the what? The sanctuary of the Lord. You know what? Every time them folks walked in, every time they got up there to the, they saw that. Every time, you know what? When you come to church on Sunday, you ought to be thinking about what you've done for the Lord that week. You ought to be thinking about the folks that you talked to the Lord about. You ought to be consciously seeking things of God all this time. And you know what? Why would Joshua go to the great, great job to get a big rock, a big stone, and put it out there by a big oak tree? You know why? Because he didn't want them people to forget, Brother Ricky, and he wanted God to know that they meant business. Y'all familiar with the term, I mean business? You got a guy gets in a fight. The guy says, you don't leave me alone, buddy. I mean business. You see that? That means there's a pistol in my pocket right now. You look down and you see the point of that 380 right there. Guy says, you mean business? Yeah, I mean business. God says, I mean business. It's serious business. You see, we don't have a stone this morning. I'm going to ask Fannin Road Baptist Church. Not just y'all. Don't think y'all are the only ones today to hear this message. I'm going to print. Matter of fact, Kyle and Randy is going to copy this message. Probably 30 or 40 copies of it. And I'm going to give it to the rest of our church. Maybe more than that. Maybe close to 50, 75, or 100 or not even here. And I'm going to tell them, I'm going to ask them, y'all probably not going to like this, but I'm going to ask them to choose what they're going to do. If you want to stay where you're at and do what you want to do, then go for it. But I don't have time to play. And neither do you. You can play church all you want, and you can let the things. Remember, there's three kinds of people here. There's ones who serve the Lord here. They're here. They're serving the Lord. You've got the other crowd in here that's serving sin. And then you got the crowd that's just sitting on the pew, letting everything roll. You know, lukewarm is a bad way to go. Revelation talks about lukewarmness. God says, I will spew you out of your mouth. I don't like, you ever spewed out of somebody's mouth? You ever done that stuff? Ooh. You get sick, buddy, and just comes out your nose. Comes out. Oh, it's nasty. It's nasty. But that's the Lord. What's the Lord done for you? Let me ask you a question. I was reading my devotion. Let me show you this. Flip over to Psalms. I was reading my devotion time this morning. Man, this jumped all over me this morning in my little place that I hide out at. Had to hide from Deborah during this time. That means bee, by the way. The word Deborah means bee. She's doing something all the time. But in Psalm 103, the verse, there's several verses. Now, let's read a few. I want you to think about something today. I'm going to ask you a question this morning to choose you this day. What has God done for you today? Look in Psalm chapter 103. David says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and that is within me, bless his holy name. Now look in verse 2. This was my verse. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his what? Benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that youth is renewed like the eagles. Now I could go on. I'll stop right there. You know something this morning? I'm asking you to choose. There's so many folks that ain't here. I mean, I'll be honest with you. There's so many folks that ain't here this morning. He said, Brother Jim, he didn't run them off. I don't think Jim run them off, folks. You see, there's folks here this morning. It could be you need to choose the Lord today. He's asked you today. He said, I came and died for you on the cross. I love you that much. I shed my blood for you on the cross. Today you better choose him. Or you could be that you're faithful. You've chosen to serve the Lord and you're sold out. You are fully committed. There's nothing more. You're there. I got one word for you. Hallelujah. I love that word. Or you could be playing around. You got something that you're playing with. You got something that's got you. Listen, you play with sin, then pretty soon sin plays with you. We know that. What do you do with that, preacher? You choose to turn from it. If you're a saved person, you turn from it, you repent of it, you turn from it, and you don't go back to it. Dogs do that type of stuff. Scripture talks pretty harshly on this. It says a dog returns to his vomit. That's what it says. Some folks, though, are sitting on the fence. This is the ones that's hurting us right now. We got. I'll tell you something. We got a lot of folks right now in the church that needs to commit to serve the Lord. We need some more bus drivers. We need some more teachers. We need some folks to get serious about what God wants them to do. I'm going to ask in just a few moments, and I guess we can go ahead and bow our heads here at this point. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I do want to be serious this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed.